You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 8. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8. I've been teaching on authority on Wednesday nights, and I'm going to stay with this. In fact, I really sense in my spirit that I'm going to start ministering this way. In other words, we're going to minister on subjects on Wednesday nights, and then we'll minister on other subjects on Sunday mornings. I used to just kind of teach through, and that's fine, but I just feel a sense this is the way we're supposed to go. And you know, God, we're run by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's been real good. It's been rich on Wednesday nights. It's kind of, you know, Wednesday nights you're a little more serious, it seems like. People that come are really more in-depth. They really want some deeper stuff. You know, people love Jesus come on Wednesday nights. Don't go out there and call everybody. But you know the old saying, people love church come Sunday mornings, people love their pastor come Sunday night. We don't have Sunday night service, but that's what we used to say. And people come Wednesdays, they love Jesus. Hallelujah. But yeah, well, you better amen, you're here. Come on. Come on, I'm just trying to connect with you here. But authority is an issue I think a lot of people don't realize how important it is. You know, I taught a couple weeks ago on who's in charge. I'll tell you who's in charge. You, of course, we automatically, most would say God. But you know, God's not in charge. Not according to Scripture. According to the Scripture, you're in charge.
That's right.
Now, don't get arrogant, because the only reason you're in charge is because God put you in charge.
Amen.
So whatever authority you have, you got from Him. And what you're in charge of is fulfilling His will. That's what you're in charge of. Does that make sense? So, you know, you don't want to get arrogant about the thing and get to thinking you're God. You're not God, but you are in charge down here because God put you in charge down here.
That's right.
Now, we are in charge of specifically fulfilling His will. You say, well, I thought God's will comes to pass no matter what you do. No, it does not. The Bible's very plain. God's will does not come to pass. In fact, every day God's will is not coming to pass in a lot of people's lives.
That's right.
God's ultimate will for you did not come to pass till you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that didn't happen until you accepted what He offered you. That's why He tells us to pray. If it were the case that God, everything that happened was God, and God controlled every little event and everything that ever happened in life, He would never ask you to do anything. He'd never ask you to live right, live holy, never ask you to pray, never ask you to believe God, never ask you to lay hands on the sick, never send you. He doesn't need to send anybody to do anything because He just do it all without you. But we know the Scripture says just the opposite of that. He sends us out. And I've said this before. We were talking along these lines about problems and crisis and so on that comes in your life. God does not send crisis, problems, tragedy, and all those things. God sends you. Are you with me? So you say, and Bert and I were discussing this today. You don't want to get it out of context or twist it. God doesn't send the sickness to you. He sends you to the sickness. Now, He doesn't send you purposely into a problem. The point I'm making is that God, the only thing God sends is you. And so why? Why would He send us to take care of the problem?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why does He send us? Why did He put Adam in the garden? What was the point of putting him in the garden? Take care of it. Did God send the devil to Adam? No. He sent Adam to the garden to take care of the devil.
That's right.
Woohoo!
Good.
She said, well, I got all this going on. I got that going on. What's God doing here? You are what God is doing here.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. All the other stuff's not what God's doing. You are what God's doing. Okay. Ooh, boys. Come on. Come on. All right, okay. Just chew on it. Think about it. Food for thought. So, I mean, God's not just taking you and sending you into all kinds of crisis. That's not what we're saying here. But God sends you to take care of the crisis, for sure. If anything He sends, we know for a fact He sends, without a doubt He sends, is us. He told us to go. Amen. All right, so Matthew talks about authority. This is kind of authority 101. If you're going to teach on authority, you've got to get to Matthew 8. I mean, this is where the centurion came to Jesus. You know the account. You're familiar with it. Many of you quote this by heart, and it's an amazing story. It says here in the Fifth verse. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. The New Living Translation says, speak from where you are. Did y'all hear that? Just speak from where you are, and my servant shall be healed. You know, a lot of times we think we've got to get everything just perfect and everything just right, but really we just need to speak from where we are, wherever we are. We need to speak from where we are. Isn't that right? And so in this case, you know, Jesus said, I'll come heal him. In the natural, you'd think, well, you need Jesus standing right there with his hand physically seeing it, watching it, laid it on that servant for him to be healed. But the authority really was in the word. It was in the spoken word. And Jesus could have spoke from where he was or spoke from anywhere and the sickness would have been healed. Amen?
Amen.
And we can too. We can too. He says, speak the word or speak from where you are. My servant shall be healed. And then he goes on and says, for I'm man under authority. I always love that. I'm not teaching on that specifically. But he says, for I'm a man under authority. You know, we often talk about the centurion. You know, he was a man who had authority just like Jesus. Well, no, that's not what he said. He said, I'm a man under authority.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a man under authority. And he recognized in Jesus a man who was under the authority of God. Sent by God, authorized by God, had delegated authority from God. And so he was the man in charge.
Right.
Who's in charge? The one that God gave the authority to. The one completely under the authority of God. Who's in charge in your life? Most of the time it's circumstance, but it shouldn't be that way. If you'll be totally submitted to God and under His authority, you'll be in charge.
That's right.
So when it comes to exercising authority, okay, we got power, we got authority, but what good's authority if you can't get anything done? I mean, I got this power, but what do I do with it? How do I exercise authority? How did Jesus exercise authority? We got authority. We got the name of Jesus. We're Christians. We've been given that name. We've been given the power of prayer and so on and so forth. But how do we exercise it? Well, we got to say it. You know what? It's real simple. The centurion said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. So authority's no good unless it's used. You know, I talked about this last week that we often talk about the abuse of power. People do take a position of power and abuse it. And sure, there's a lot of that going around. That Lord Acton said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, of course, that would be true for man, I guess. But God has absolute power, and He's not corrupted at all.
Amen.
Power can be used correctly. Are you with me? So we talk about the abuse of power, but I don't think we talk too much about the misuse or lack of use of power. I think in most cases, we're probably guilty of the lack of use, not the abuse.
Right, right.
And just as it would be irresponsible for me to abuse power, it's just as irresponsible for me to not use power.
Right.
When I'm the one that has it. If I'm in charge and I'm in authority and God's given me the position of authority, then it would be irresponsible for me not use that authority. That's what we're mostly guilty of, I would say that. Not hitting anybody on the head, I'm talking to me too. But I believe we're guilty of the lack of use, of being an unfaithful servant and hiding the talent in the ground. You know, we talked about that last week. It was there to use, and we didn't use it. Bear and I were talking about this. Of course, we kick a lot of stuff around talking about, you know, messages and so on and so forth. It'd be as if I had two kids, and they had two different rooms, and the rooms were a mess, and the floors were a mess, and wow, I'm getting pictures and memories coming back. But anyway. And I walked in there and I said, hey, you know, look, this is your room. I hold you responsible for cleaning this room up. Here's a vacuum cleaner. Here's an iron and an ironing board. Iron your clothes and fold them and hang them up. Hello. Put them in, you know, fold them, the ones you need to fold up. Iron the ones you need to iron. Hang the ones you need to hang up. Lay out the bed, you know, and make up the bed and clean up this floor and vacuum. Walk into the next room, do the same thing. And I said, here's a vacuum, here's an iron ironing board. I hold you responsible for cleaning this room up. This is your room, I want you to clean it up. Here's the iron, here's the ironing board, here's the vacuum. And walk away. Come back. Does this sound familiar in your life? Come back later. One room is spotless and pristine. Everything's just hung up and clothes are folded and hanging and beds made. Floor's clean, man, looking good. Walk in the next room and nothing's done. Vacuum cleaner's laying there. The ironing board's still there. The iron's still on there. And they listen to something on their CD player, you know. Just oblivious to everything. You say, what in the world is going on here? Now, this is kind of what we do sometimes. They wouldn't go this far because, you know, they'd get in trouble as kids. But if they said something like, if the one that had the dirty room said, well, I was kind of waiting on you to come and clean the room for me. Or I was waiting for you to hang the clothes up. Well, I was hoping you might come in and fold these clothes up and put them in the chest drawer for me and pick up the floor for me. You're my daddy. And daddy would say, well, now, son, what did you think I gave you the vacuum cleaner for? And why do you think I gave you the ironing board and the iron for? What was the purpose of me giving that to you? And naturally, most kids would go, I don't know. Isn't that right? Now, how many times have we done that? We're waiting around for God to do something in our life, and we are sitting there with the vacuum cleaner that He's given us, the iron and the ironing board that He's given us, the commission from Him, the charge to do it. And we're wanting Daddy to do it. And when it doesn't get done, we don't understand what Daddy's doing in our lives. Why didn't Daddy clean my mess up? Woo! The point is, He gave you the authority to do it, see? And I think we're waiting on God to do things that He has given us the authority to do. If I have the name of Jesus, and I do, the Bible says it very plainly that I do. He's given me that name to pray with. Amen? He's given me a charge. He's told me what to pray and how to, told me to lay hands on the sick. Then I can't be laying this off on God when it doesn't get done because it's up to me to get to use the authority He gave me. So authority comes... With authority comes responsibility. So I'm really responsible as a Christian, as a believer, to pray and to believe God and to stand on the Word. And if I'm over this garden, I need to run the devil out of this garden. Pull up those weeds when they come up.
Amen.
Amen. And make sure what's growing here is in line with what God wants. Because just because God wants it doesn't mean it's going to happen. God wants the room clean, but He gave you the vacuum cleaner and the iron and ironing board. So it's up to you. You've been charged, you've been authorized, and you've been equipped.
Amen. That's good.
We have been equipped, authorized, and we've got the charge from God to do this job. And simply, we don't have to think in large terms. We can just start thinking in terms of just ourselves. First of all, I'm in charge of me. My life. Hello. Then I'm in charge of that circle that, you know, whether it's a marriage or a relationships or whatever the case may be. It starts with me. Man can't rule his own house. He that rules his own spirit is better than him that takes a city. Come on. Rule, that's authority. I do have authority over me. I got more authority over me than I do you anyway. I mean, when I look in that mirror, I'm the one, I got authority over me. God's given me authority over me. Line myself up. Straighten myself out. Use the iron. Vacuum cleaner. I mean, I've been given the tools and the authority to do it. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And it starts out by speaking. That's how God made everything, by speaking. What are you saying? What are you saying over yourself, your situation? It's the authority now. It's authority you have, but it's no good if you don't exercise it. You know, the centurion could have said this. Now, notice he didn't say whatever will be, will be. That's often what we think. Well, whatever will be, will be. If it happens, you know, it's God. If it doesn't happen, it wasn't God. A lot of people think like that. Whatever will be, will be. Actually, what he said was, whatever you say, will be. And whatever you don't say won't be. So the question is not whatever will be. The question is whatever will be said or spoken will be. And whatever will not be spoken will not be.
That's right.
Nothing will be if you don't say it. And the only thing that will be is if what you do say. Isn't that true? When Jesus would speak or pray or say things, he'd cast out devils, raise the dead, stop storms. He would say things, and whatever he said would be. But when he didn't say anything, nothing happened. Now, if you don't want anything to happen, don't say anything. That's just pure and simple.
Right.
But if you want to change something, say something. The centurion understood it. He's got all kinds of people under him. He is a centurion. He's in the military. If those soldiers are going to do anything, it's going to be after he says something. If he doesn't say anything, they're not going to do anything. If you don't want the room clean, don't tell your children to clean the room. I can guarantee they won't clean it if you don't tell them. It's going to be a struggle if you do tell them. But if you don't tell them, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
Amen. Because you exercise authority even as a parent by speaking.
That's right.
See? And really, the higher the authority, the more the authority is exercised through words. In fact, the highest authority would be a king. And he rules completely by his word. He just makes decrees and says things, and they happen. The highest authority being God rules everything by his word, by spoken word. You know, I was thinking about Psalms 107:20. Now, we're just rolling here, but think about this. Psalms 107:20 says, they cried unto him, and I sent my word and healed them. Okay. Would y'all just track with me here? Okay. They cried to the Lord, and he sent his word and healed them. Now, how did that happen? He sent his word. Did it just fall out of the sky? I mean, all of a sudden the words just start. Oh, there's one. How did he send his word? What do you mean he sent his word and healed them? Let's just go to Old Testament. Think about that scripture. They cried to the Lord. How did his word come? Not a trick question. I'm just thinking about it. It had to come through someone. A prophet. Come on, someone anointed. Somebody had to. See, there's no word here that didn't come through. It had to come through a prophet. That's how we got it. Isn't that right? So God used someone to vocalize his word. And you know what it boiled down to? It usually boiled down to telling them to do something. So they, in turn, obeyed it and were delivered. Isn't that right? So even God sending his word and healing them, really, he sent his word and they had to do something with it. He sent his vacuum cleaner to clean up the mess. But they had to turn it on. He sent his iron and ironing board to straighten out the wrinkles. But they had to move the iron. You got to move it, you know. Hello. So when you think of how God moves and delivers and meets our need, he meets our need through our obedience or through our confession, through our praying, through our believing. Jesus was waiting on that centurion to say what he said. If God's going to send his word, it's going to be through you or through someone. It's got to be through somebody. Isn't that right? So how's God's word going to enter your life or enter your situation? Well, it's going to have to come out of your mouth. You said, no, wait a minute. Now, this is Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. Well, I can read. I see that. And we'll take this a little further, but let's go back to this. 8th chapter, 5th verse. Is this helping you at all?
Yes.
Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. He obeys what I say. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. He was looking for this kind of faith, a person that believed exactly what God said. Just waiting on the word. Well, he goes on down and says this in the 13th verse. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. That's the way it's done for us, obviously, is the way we believe. And what we say, and how is it with you? It's the way you believe. That's how it is. It's the way you say and believe. So I realize there's things we have to do and practical steps we have to take. But I can guarantee if you don't start saying it, you're not going to do it. Because you're headed where your head is. If you don't start saying it, you're not going to line up with it. If you don't start praying it, it's not going to happen. If you don't start taking your authority and speaking that out, it's not going to happen. Circumstances are under the authority of God's Word. They're not under the authority of the government. They're not under the authority of bad jeans. Hello. Bad jeans or dress pants. Doesn't matter. They're under the authority of the Word. And authority is never exercised unless it's spoken. Jesus had all that authority to heal that servant, but the centurion knew he had to say it for it to happen. Isn't that right? And if you have employees or you have children, they're waiting for the word. I mean, you have to tell them what you want. It doesn't just happen. You have to voice what you want. You have to speak what you want.
That's right.
And that's how we exercise authority. So we've been given authority. Great, wonderful. But with authority comes responsibility. So I'm responsible now for straightening out the mess, ironing out the wrinkles and picking up the mess that in our lives. Our lives are filled with mess. And wrinkles come, they go, they happen in life. Are you with me? Track with me on metaphorical lines here, okay, when I talk about wrinkles. Wrinkles in your marriage. Wrinkles on your job. Wrinkles. You have to iron. How do you iron? God gave you the iron. You have to use it. And if you do, you take your God-given authority and exercise it, you will be speaking it. You'll be talking to it. Luke 17. You know, I mentioned, I said, well, you may be thinking, well, that was Jesus. He was telling Jesus to say that. And, of course, if Jesus says it, it'll happen. But notice what Jesus said concerning us. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Give me more faith, you know. So the Lord said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say. Everybody say, say. Okay. If you really believe, you'd say it. Isn't that right? I mean, if you did, you're going to say what you believe, okay? That's the bottom line. Whatever you believe, you're going to say. You can find out where a person is by what they're saying. About anything. I can have a lot of faith about something and a lot of doubt about something else, and you can tell by what I say. I can believe in Jesus, but not believe Jesus for something. I can believe strong on healing, weak on finances, or whatever, but you'd know where I was as soon as I started talking. But he's telling us, he's giving us the truth here, that if we had faith, and we should, that we would say, because that's how we exercise it, that's how we change things. I say it, see? Watch what you say. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey you. In other words, you have authority over it. And he's talking about problems. I don't believe he's talking about a tree. I don't think this is a new way to clear land. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He used this as a parable or symbolic. He was talking about problems, situations, crisis, and tragedy, and so on and so forth. But he was saying this, you know what? You're going to have to talk to it or it's not going to move. It's not going to move until you talk to it. You got authority, but it's no good unless you say it. When did the tree obey? When you say. Nothing obey till you say. You must say for things to obey. In fact, they're just going to keep doing what they're doing until you say. This is not Jesus saying. This is Jesus telling us to say.
Amen.
Wow. So, yeah, great. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I got the name of Jesus. I can pray and things happen. But see, that's just it. I got to pray or they won't happen. I got to say or they won't change. Nothing's going to move. It'll be the same tomorrow, next week, next year, until I say, get out of the way. Till you say to the mountain, move. Till you say to the sickness, get on out of my way. You ever heard that song? Okay, well. Anyway, I'll bless you by not singing it. Actually, that was Clint Utterback from Hackensack sang that song. He sang that song. Now, what's the name of that song? Something about I believe. Oh, yes, I believe. And I say to... He had these moves too, boy. I say to the mountain, move. He'd do all this stuff, you know, and you're going, yeah. And I say to the sickness, get on out of my way. And the whole point was you got to say. And he was just quoting scriptures, you know. That's what Jesus is telling us. Oh, come on, get over it. I mean, all the moves and everything. Yeah, I'm not going to go for American Idol. Forget that. That's not going to happen. Jesus said this. You believe what Jesus said?
Amen.
Jesus told us, until we say it, it's not going to obey. No problem is going to obey what you don't say. Problems obey what you do say, though. Yeah. Woo, that's good stuff. See, I got authority, but how do I exercise authority? I exercise it just like anybody would exercise authority. You say something. Just like Jesus said, your servant's healed, just like you believe. Just like Jesus said here, get out of the way. Move. Be uprooted. Cast in the sea. So we exercise authority by speaking. Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. He said to the sickness, be healed. He said to the demons, go. And he told us to do the same thing. Mark 11. Goodness, these are basic scriptures. But it doesn't really get any more complicated than this. I think sometimes we want it to be more complicated, but it really isn't. It's real simple. Where you drop the ball, where I drop the ball, is what we're saying about the situation. I don't care what the situation is. Doesn't matter what it is. We're waiting on God. He's waiting on us. We're the ones put in charge. We're going to have to clean the room. Now, when it's all said and done, God's going to get the credit and the glory because it's His vacuum cleaner and it's His iron and it's His ironing board. Okay?
Amen.
And He's paying for the electricity.
Amen.
Amen. But He put us in charge. Just like that was His garden, but He put Adam in charge of it. So when the devil came in, Adam should have run him out. But Adam didn't run him out. And look what mess we're in now. Because somebody did not exercise authority.
Yeah.
And in a smaller sense, in a more local sense, it happens all the time. The devil comes in our lives and we don't run him out. Okay. Mark 11. And you know this verse. Goodness, you could quote this. What did I tell you to turn to? Yeah, for some reason I went to Matthew. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say to you, Jesus speaking, and he's saying it to you. Whoever says to this mountain, now this is exercising authority. Just like that centurion said, I say to this one, go and he goes. I say to this one, come and he comes. Jesus, just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. I know sickness is under the authority of God's word. If you will speak it, God sent His word to help you. He sent His word to heal you. He sent His word to clean up the mess. His word is the vacuum cleaner and the ironing board. His word is it. But you're the one that turns it on. You're the one that uses it. I'm thinking of Proverbs 15:2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Knowledge is no good if it's not used. Unused knowledge is untapped potential. It's untapped resource, untapped authority. But if you're going to use knowledge, and I've said this in the last couple of weeks, people talk about knowledge being power. Knowledge is not power. Use knowledge is power. You can know something all your life and never do anything with it. That's no power. But if you do something with what you know, that's power. So how do I use knowledge? Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You want to use authority? You do it with your tongue. You do it with what you say and what you pray. What you're saying over and over your family, what you're saying over your marriage, what you're saying over and over, that's exercising authority. What we say over this church, doesn't matter what the economy's doing. I say it all the time. You hear me say this Sunday in and Sunday, week in and week out, Wednesday night. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what the doomsayers say. What matters is what we say.
That's right.
Woo! I've said this even about giving. Think about this. You know, I'm on offering basis. I mean, that's just the way we've set up. We were set up years ago that way and love it. That's the way I wanted to, I felt to do that. As no pressure or condemnation of other ministers that are on salary. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But I just, you know, sense to do that, and we've been on offering basis since we started the church. That's what from the very beginning, we've been on that. But I'll say this, because the temptation in your mind would be to get in doubt and unbelief. You know, if offerings are off, or people, you don't have a lot of people, or maybe rich people move on or have problems in their life. But see, my success is not determined by anybody's giving except mine. My success is not determined by your giving. You say, well, sure it is. You're on an offering basis. If we don't give, you don't make it. No. If I don't give, I don't make it. God blesses me for what I do, not for what you do. That sets me free. It sets all of us free, see? See, well, they did this or they did. No. All that matters is what you do concerning your life. All that matters is what I do concerning my life. If I will do what God says for me to do, He will bless me.
That's right. Amen.
And so my faith needs to be in Him and in following His instruction.
Amen.
And if I'm following His instruction, it doesn't matter about anything going on in the world or anything anybody ever does to me or doesn't do to me. Whatever I say is going to determine my destiny. Isn't that right? So my giving determines my financial success. Woo! Man, that's good, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter how much seed people give a farmer. What matters is how much seed that farmer plants. Everybody in town can give him seed. But the only thing he's going to get a harvest on is what he plants. Isn't that right? He's got to plant in order to get a harvest. You got to plant to get a harvest. Plant God's Word in context of what we're talking about here. It's what you say. Not what everybody else says about you. It's what you say about you that matters. Mark 11:23. Let me bring this to a close. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Stirring me up. I love this. I love teaching on anything in the Bible. Really, Tommy, I think about it sometimes. I get on a subject and go, I love teaching on that. But sure as the world, next week I'll teach on something else, and I love teaching on that too. I just love teaching. If it's the Bible, we're safe. Amen? We're safe. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, this will free you up. It'll set you free. It'll absolutely set you free. God's Word is what you need. It's what will make you or break you. If you'll take it and stand on it and use it, it'll make you. But the same Word, you'll just break yourself against it if you don't do it, if you don't obey it, if you don't use it. And it'll stand as a pillar. It cannot be broken. Really, in essence, you cannot break a commandment. Commandments are solid. They're unyielding. They don't break. You break yourself against one.
Yeah, that's good.
You can ruin your life, but you can't ruin a commandment. You understand what I'm saying symbolically? I understand we can violate or disobey or rebel against a commandment, but you can't break it. You just break yourself. That's all you do.
That's true.
You know, this rock is something you can stand on, or you can fall and break yourself on it. But if you stand on it, it'll take you higher. Ooh, that's good stuff. Okay. Mark 11:23. He says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done or come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Couldn't be any plainer than that, could it? Now we're not talking about Jesus saying something. Jesus is telling us to say something. He told us if we spoke to that mulberry tree, it'd be plucked up. And it would obey us if we say something to it. See, authority is about commands and then obedience to commands. That's what all authority is. I mean, when I have authority over something, that means I have the ability to command something to happen, and it has to obey that command. That's pure and simple. So if I command something to happen, I have authority to command. It has to obey me if I have authority over it. Yeah. Just real simple. So he said, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Pray in Jesus' name. Well, when I do that, sickness has got to go. It's under the command. It's under the authority of the name of Jesus. And I'm the one that has the name to pray. Yes. I'm not a great person. I just happen to be the person with the authority. Every Christian has this authority to pray God's word. And everything that's subject to God's word has to obey God's word when it's prayed and it's voiced and it's on the lips of a believer, which is you or me. And when you think about it, everything was made by God's word, so everything is subject to God's word. There's not a situation you won't face that's not subject to God's word, because everything was made by God's word, therefore everything is subject to God's word. Now, if you back up and you say, well, I thought everything was subject to God because everything was made by God. Well, yeah, everything was made by God's word. It's just he gave us his word to speak. And so he did make it, and it's subject to him through his word, but he's not speaking except through you now. When's the last time you saw God walking down the street witness to your neighbor? He uses us. Isn't that right? It's God that saves them, but he speaks through us. So when we pray for the sick here, we don't just say, come on up here and God will just get on you and heal you. Brent and I walk over here and we put our hands on you.
That's right.
We believe he's doing the healing, but we know he's healing through us. And through you and through anyone that lays hands on the sick. So authority's delegated, see. God will do all kinds of things through the one he delegated the authority to. He'll give you everything you need. Give you the vacuum cleaner and the iron and everything you need. But you've got to turn it on. Amen? And how do you do that? You turn it on by speaking. Surely I say to you, let's read it again. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You believe that's anybody? I believe we'd all have to agree that John 3:16 is for whoever. Isn't that right? It says whoever. Whoever what? Whoever believes in him will not perish, have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, I believe it's for whoever. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Whoever shall be saved. No one argue with that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved tonight? I'm looking around. I think everybody in here is saved tonight. But how'd that happen? You were one of those whoever's, weren't you?
Amen.
You call on the name of the Lord. Well, now listen to this. Jesus is still speaking here. This is Jesus. Same one said that, John 3:16. He said, whosoever shall say to the mountain. You got a mountain on your horizon? You got a crisis? You got a problem? You got an issue there that you need to take care of? Well, here's what Jesus is saying. Whoever says to it, be removed. Pastor, are you saying? No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Well, I know you believe that. Well, I may believe it, but I'm not the one that said that.
Right.
And we're not talking about we're talking about what Jesus said here.
Right.
Well, you really think? Well, you see, it doesn't really matter what I think. Okay? I get tickled at people. Oh, you really believe that? Well, Jesus said it. I guess I do. Well, are you saying? No, I'm not saying anything. Jesus said it.
Amen.
You're trying to tell me that if I... No, I'm not trying to tell you that. Jesus is telling you that. Well, I don't know, but... Well, you have to take that up with Jesus. Because he's the one that said it. Amen. Well, no. You just have to talk to Jesus about it. He's the one that said it. And here's what he said. Surely I say to you that whoever says to this mountain... Oh, now we're going to be walking around talking to things. Yeah, well, Jesus did it. I join a club. Just be a Jesus person. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass or be done, he will have whatever he says. That's just mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, that's just over the top. That's past the pulsars and the quasars. I mean, that's just... so far out there. But yet, you know, that's what Jesus said. And it's no more strange or no more impossible than Him saving us from the depths of sin and washing us clean in His blood. And one day we're lost and the next day we're born again and going to heaven. A miracle of God. If that's the greatest thing that could ever happen, this is just chump change. Come on, this has got to be nothing compared to that. And we believe that, don't we? I believe you split the Red Sea and you walk across by dry land. Are you backed up to the Red Sea? I mean, most of our problems don't amount to that. And yet, He's given us the authority to take care of it. Waiting for us to say something. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak to it. How's it going to be? Well, it's going to be like I say it's going to be, evidently. It's got scary in one sense, but it ought to stir us in another. It ought to shake us. Hallelujah. I can turn this thing around. Actually, I'm here to turn it around. God put me here to turn it around. He put me here to clean this room. Man, give me that vacuum cleaner. Give me that iron. I'm going to start cleaning this up. There's a mess around here. I'm going to have to start straightening this up. Amen? You don't like the mess? Clean it up. Clean it up. Start saying. So we exercise authority. I really just have one point. Thank God I got one. You exercise authority by speaking it out. So watch what you say. Amen? What you pray, what you confess, what you're saying over the situation. It's very, very important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:20 tells us that. You had better get 21. Excuse me. 18, thank you, Amanda. I looked over at Amanda and she went, what? 21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:20 says a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. And by the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Then it says, 21st verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. 22nd verse says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor by the Lord, from the Lord. Okay, and I'll quit. But anyway, we can say this. Amen? We can pray this. We can do this. In fact, I'll just add a little bit to that. If we don't do it, it won't get done. Not only can I do it, not only have I had the ability to do it and the commission to do it, it's not going to get done unless I do it. I've got to do it. So you pray and you believe God and you stand on the Word and you say God's Word and you watch the situation change. Watch that mountain go. Watch that mulberry tree be plucked up by the roots. Hallelujah. And victory will come. Hallelujah.